this is about the time of year most of us give up on our New Year's resolutions, and we're barely halfway through January. But we will learn about many simple changes we can make starting today, starting any day, to improve our health and well-being. Small changes that could have big results and might not be so overwhelming as your already forgotten New Year's resolutions. Good morning, I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It is 8 minutes past 6 o'clock on this Thursday, January 16th. And I am looking forward to this hour to talking with our guest, the author of One Simple Change, Surprisingly Easy Ways to Transform Your Life, and welcoming your questions and your suggestions on ways to improve our nutrition, our fitness, our attitudes, our overall well-being. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on our Facebook page, The Joy Cardine Show, or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. Our guest is Winnie Abramson. She has a doctorate in naturopathic medicine and blogs at Healthy Green Kitchen. And she is the author of One Simple Change, Surprisingly Easy Ways to Transform Your Life. Good morning.
Good morning, Joy.
I read that your book is sold out at Amazon, but a new batch should be ready soon, so congratulations.
Ready any day.
Yeah. Well, that's wonderful. It looks like a lot of people want to make some simple changes.
I think so.
Yeah. So tell us how you got involved, your interest in nutrition and healthy living.
Well, this goes back, I'm in my early 40s now, but this goes back to my late teens, actually. I ran into some health issues myself from excessive dieting and over-exercising and things people do sometimes to try and be healthy, but I ended up sort of with the opposite result. I had a lot of health issues from doing that. So I was able to resolve those working with a holistic physician, and I got really interested in alternative medicine. I went to naturopathic medical school when I was in my early 20s, and then I've really spent the last 20 years studying natural health, alternative health, and just nutrition in particular. I started writing this. I'm not practicing now, not practicing medicine, and I had started writing this blog about 5 years ago. And one of the things I did on the blog was I wrote a series of posts about simple changes, and I turned that series into this book.
And it is a brand new year. As I mentioned, most people have already given up on New Year's resolutions. You don't believe in New Year's resolutions.
I think by tomorrow.
Yeah, that's tomorrow's the day. Yeah, so why don't you believe in New Year's resolutions?
Well, I think people have good, they have good intentions when they make New Year's resolutions, and they, you know, that intention is a desire to make change, but a lot of times people come up with really, like, far too grandiose a plan for, well, or they don't even have a plan. They just have a grandiose concept of what they want to achieve, but they don't make a plan to get there, and they maybe go out of the gate too fast and too strong, and they burn out by now, usually.
Mm-hmm.
Or people just give up because it's too hard.
Yeah, and you do, though, need at least some sort of boost to spring into action, don't you?
Well, you need to be motivated,
mm-hmm.
for sure. You need to be motivated and, you know, by something. Nothing's going to change if you're not motivated to make a change. But, my theory, lots of people, didn't make it up, but, you know, lots of people believe that really the way to make permanent habit change is to do small things and practicing them and do it over a long period of time, and then those habits become permanent.
Yeah. Well, I mentioned a few of your tips at the top of the hour, and since it's early morning and people are probably getting ready to have breakfast, maybe having breakfast right now, one of your tips is have a proper breakfast in the morning. What does that mean?
Well, a lot of people don't eat breakfast at all. A lot of people just have coffee. So I really do think it's best that people get in the habit of starting the day with a real meal. And that would mean, you know, not necessarily donuts.
Mm-hmm.
Or something that you pick up through the drive-thru and eat in the car. It would be making time to have some protein, some, you know, wholesome carbohydrates, some fat. So really, it's a balanced meal.
Yeah, you do say try to include some protein in every meal.
Yeah.
That's simple enough. What Why is that important?
Well, protein really keeps your blood sugar balanced, and it's satiating. So, you know, a lot of people just don't get enough protein throughout the day, and then your blood sugar isn't balanced. You go looking for maybe for sugary treats or coffee to pick you up. When if you, you know, if you ate regular meals and snacks that contain protein, you can actually get a handle on that, those sorts of issues really quickly.
What kind of protein do you have in the morning?
Well, I sometimes have eggs. I keep my own chickens, so I do eat eggs quite a lot. Mm-hmm. I like cottage cheese. I like yogurt, you know, yogurt in a smoothie or yogurt with granola. I make my own granola pretty frequently. So things like that, but sometimes I'll have, like, you know, if I made something for dinner the night before, I might have leftovers if I'm in a bind and I just want to, you know, I don't want to have to make something. I'll just grab whatever I ate for leftovers. I'm not too picky.
I saw on your a recipe for making your own yogurt, too. You make your own yogurt.
Yes, I do. It's really easy.
Is it really?
It is. It is. I mean, the yogurt recipe that I have in my book, and which you could actually find on my blog right now, just involves you just heat milk on the stove. You cool it a little to under 110 degrees is the yogurt where is sorry is the temperature that yogurt, you know, that where the fermentation process will happen. And then you just you put it in a glass jar, you wrap it in a towel, and you stick it in a warm oven. But then you turn the oven off. And you just let it sit in the oven for, which is basically just an enclosed warm place for overnight. And then you have yogurt in the morning.
And you recommend that we also make our own juice. Why should we make our own juice?
Yeah, you know, when nowadays you go into the grocery store and there's shelves and shelves of juice. And some of those are, you know, they can be good, but really juice is best when it's fresh. So really, you know, right after you make it. And you don't have to make it yourself. You can have it in a juice. You know, there are lots of places nowadays where you can get fresh juice. But really just the idea that, you know, if you buy juice from the store, it might be a week old, it might be 2 weeks old. So it's really lost a lot of the beneficial things about it.
Yeah. Why should we be wary of wheat?
Yeah, well, wheat is something that a lot of us just basically eat too much. It's such a staple in our diet. You know, a lot of people have cereal for breakfast, and they have a sandwich for lunch, and they have pasta for dinner. And, you know, for some people that may be okay, but you can really develop sensitivities to foods if you eat them so often. And really the overriding concept of the book is that I want people to eat a much more varied diet than they often do. So that's one thing. And, you know, there are books out there right now that talk about wheat being a cause of a million different problems. I'm not sure I agree 100% with those books. But for some people, it does seem to be true that when they take wheat out of their diet, you know, they are able to resolve some health issues.
So how do we assess our carb load? That was another tip.
Yes. So, you know, that is a really individual thing because people who are really active, you know, require more carbohydrates than people who aren't too active. And, of course, I would much prefer people get more active than just, you know, say, well, I'm not active, so I'm not going to eat so many carbohydrates. I think, you know, in the book I talk about just figuring out how to find some balance with respect to carbohydrates. I absolutely don't recommend that you don't eat them. And I eat plenty of carbohydrates. I exercise quite a lot. So I find them really necessary for, you know, for feeling good at the gym and doing my workouts. So I don't recommend eschewing them from the diet. But again, it's about, you know, eating more protein, having good quality fats in the diet, and then browning your diet out with wholesome carbohydrates.
Well, we'll talk about, we haven't talked about those wholesome fats yet, and we haven't talked about getting moving to encourage some more physical activity and many other tips that are in the book, One Simple Change, Surprisingly Easy Ways to Transform Your Life. And we're welcoming your questions for our guest. We're welcoming your own health and wellness tips. Have you recently adopted a simple change that you think has been really important for you? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. We are talking with Winnie Abramson. She is author of One Simple Change. She also blogs at Healthy Green Kitchen, talking about some of the 50 small changes that can make a huge overall change to our well-being. And we're welcoming your questions for her. We're welcoming your own suggestions. Have you made any changes recently that have made a big difference? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. And Winnie, let's talk a little bit about, there's so much to talk about, but you say that readers should stop dieting. What's the difference between dieting and adopting a healthy diet?
Well, when I say readers should stop dieting, what I'm really talking about is stop the madness. Mm-hmm. just, you know, a lot of people just spend their life on one diet or another. So maybe they flirted with Atkins, and then they went vegan, and then they went low carb, which is similar to Atkins, and then they go paleo. And, you know, if you find what works for you and you're able to stick with that, then I'm not saying don't do that, but there's the focus of the book isn't on weight loss. It's really on health and on just focusing more on nourishing yourself instead of focusing on, you know, taking things away, which is how I view a diet.
Mm-hmm. You mentioned you do exercise a lot. What if we don't think we have the time to, you know, go to the gym for an hour or two? What do you suggest?
Well, 2 hours at the gym is a long time.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't spend 2 hours at the gym ever, unless I'm, you know, talking to someone, get in a conversation with someone. I wouldn't be because I'm exercising. I think that everyone needs to start somewhere. And that even a 10-minute walk 3 times a week would benefit someone who doesn't exercise at all. So I think that's, again, sort of where we get into the what people think of in terms of resolutions. When they think about exercising, they might say, well, I'm going to go to the gym every day for a month. I'm going to spend, you know, X amount of time on the treadmill and X amount of time. So instead of looking at it that way, you know, just look at, well, if you're not doing anything now, what can you start doing? It could be as simple as a 10-minute walk. I weight train, so that's what I do when I go to the gym. I really enjoy it. I started about a little over a year ago, and I never expected to love it as much as I do. So I really look forward to going to the gym now. But years ago, I used to sort of force myself, you know, to do other things that I didn't really like. So that's the other thing is, I think, paying attention to trying new things and finding what you enjoy. Because most people who don't enjoy exercise, it's probably because they haven't found what they like to do yet.
Right, yeah. I will never walk on a treadmill. It's just so boring.
It's very boring. I agree with you. And some people like it. Maybe they like to watch a movie or they find a way that they do enjoy it. But I'm with you, Joy. I don't like it either.
Yeah, so the tip is move their body.
Just move your body.
Yeah.
Exactly. And there are so many ways to do that. Because some people are going to maybe gravitate to things like yoga or Pilates, and other people really look for the cardio, and maybe they enjoy running, and other people like me, maybe I used to like running, but I don't like it anymore, and now I just prefer to do weight training, or I do like a CrossFit style workout, which is a very short aerobic workout. And I go hiking on the weekends with my dog, my family, so I really enjoy that. Or I'd go skiing in the winter. So there's just so many things, so many different ways you can move your body, and I do think that everyone can find something that they like to do.
Speaking of moving your body in the winter, boy, this has been a brutal winter so far, and it's only, gosh, I don't even think it's a month old yet, but...
Right.
one thing, especially in our state, we don't get as much sunshine, and that's another one of your tips. Try to get some sunshine.
It is, and it is hard. It's hard in the winter months, but sunshine does have a lot of benefits that people, you know, I think we all sort of intuitively know that we feel good when we're in the sun, but there's this connection between the sun and vitamin D, and that's really important for your health to get enough vitamin D. And also, when you get sun during the daytime, it actually helps you sleep. It affects your melatonin levels, and it affects mood so strongly. So I do recommend that people figure out how to get some sun every day. Now that it is hard. The sun doesn't shine every day.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, that's about getting out when you can and not overdoing it. I'm not saying spend hours and hours and hours in the sun, because really to get the benefits, you don't have to spend that much time.
I'm Joy Cardine talking with Winnie Abramson. She is author of One Simple Change, and we are talking about simple things that you can do right now, starting today, that could have a big effect on your overall well-being. We're welcoming your questions. We're welcoming any changes you might have made recently to improve your health. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. So, Winnie, what about all the stress that we're under? You say that we should try to manage our stress. How do we do that?
Well, some of the things we already talked about are really helpful, including exercise.
Mm-hmm.
Exercise is really huge. I'd say that's one of the biggest benefits I've gotten out of the exercise, being consistent about the exercise the way I have with this weight training stuff that I do for the last over a year. It's amazing what a difference it makes in reducing stress and managing any anxiety that might crop up. So that's a huge one. Your sleep is very, very connected to how we manage stress. So I have a whole chapter on sleep in the book. So if you're not sleeping enough, if you work on that and get more sleep on a regular basis, that can really, really help. And then there's a lot of other tips, for dealing with acute and chronic stress,
mm-hmm.
because it is something that affects people really greatly, and it can affect their health in ways that they don't even realize.
So I do get up really, really early in the morning.
Yes,
I go to bed. Yeah, I get up really early, but I also go to bed early. Now I am really tired when 6 p.m. rolls around. And I think I'm probably not getting 8 hours of sleep, but when I do sleep, I'm sleeping soundly. How do you suggest those of us who might not be getting the amount of sleep we need get the amount of sleep we need?
Yeah, again, I suggest making incremental changes towards that goal. So sometimes I'm not sure how much. So how much sleep do you get, Joy?
Probably 6 hours.
Yeah, but you have to wake up at what time?
1 a.m.
Oh, wow.
That's what time I am waking up. I might be able to change that in the near future, but right now my husband also gets up at 1 a.m., so it just makes sense for me to do it as well. And I do all my show prep then before coming in to go on the air.
So you really have a different schedule than most people.
Yes. Yes.
that's a tough one. Most people are maybe on that schedule of where they would do well to go to bed at 10 p.m. and wake up at 6. That's really, that's probably ideal for your body. So not to you, but to mm-hmm. other people, if right now you find yourself go to bed at midnight, then I would say, next week you try and go to bed 15 minutes earlier. And then the next week you turn, do it another 15 minutes early. But for anyone, including you, if you're trying to get to bed earlier, I think just establishing a pattern of downtime at night is really important.
Yeah.
A lot of us these days, we're on our computers and maybe the TV is in the bedroom and just different ways that we're getting stimulated in the evening, and that's not conducive to sleep.
Right.
So just working on, establishing a more, turning the lights down lower and making our bodies preparing them for rest, I think, is what a lot of people need to work
on. Yeah, that's a mistake I make, is that I'm on the computer until it's time for bed, and that's probably not a good idea.
It's really common, and it is hard to sleep if you do that.
So what about, I don't wake up in the middle of the night. We have another minute before our news break. Are there natural ways to try to sleep through the night?
You know, there are things out on the market, and melatonin and different things. I don't really speak to those in the book. I do think that, you know, a lot of people just may need to work with a health professional to find the solution that's correct for them. I don't think the same thing is going to work for everybody. And I hear stories of people trying things, you know, natural things, and then they have the opposite effect.
Mm-hmm.
So it's really going to depend on the person. I don't know of something that really works for everybody in that regard.
We are talking about some of the 50 small changes that we can make to improve our overall well-being with our guest, Winnie Abramson. She is the author of One Simple Change, Surprisingly Easy Ways to Transform Your Life, talking about proper nutrition, decreasing stress, getting enough sleep, getting good exercise. And we're welcoming some of the changes you might have made recently or tips that you might have. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. We'll check news and then we'll be back. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. We are talking to the author of One Simple Change about many of the small changes that we can make to improve our well-being. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's coming up on 6:37 on this Thursday, January 16th. We welcome your questions for our guest. We welcome your own suggestions at 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. Talking about our nutrition, ways to improve our nutrition, ways to improve our fitness, our attitudes, our overall well-being. We'll talk some more in this half hour about some green living tips, some eco-friendly recipes. And again, we welcome your suggestions and your questions. Our guest is Winnie Abramson. She has a doctorate in naturopathic medicine. She blogs at Healthy Green Kitchen and is the author of One Simple Change, Surprisingly Easy Ways to Transform Your Life. And Winnie, during the news break, I went and refilled my coffee. And
oh my gosh, that's hilarious. I was just about to say, we forgot to talk about caffeine.
I know. I have to admit, I've seen this tip before, but this is one of my vices in this early morning schedule that I adore.
Well, what, I have to admit, if I had your schedule, mm-hmm. I'd adore it too.
So what is the problem with too much caffeine?
Well, right. Two of the things that we talked about before the break, the stress component of life and the sleep component of life, are both really affected by drinking too much caffeine. So that I feel it's really important to use caffeine in moderation and not to rely on it I think a lot of people, when they're stressed, they look to caffeine and it helps. It's like a coping mechanism to help you when you're not feeling energized and you're, you know, feeling frazzled. But that actually can work against your body. So you really need to look for more natural ways to energize yourself, like exercise and getting more sleep and eating well and maybe spending a little time in the sun instead of, you know, using caffeine as that crutch. That said, I don't think there's anything wrong with using caffeine in moderation, and certainly early in the day like this, it shouldn't affect your sleep. The problem comes when people are having, you know, maybe a latte or something at 4 in the afternoon, and that actually can affect sleep for a lot of people.
Yeah. In fact, a Charles and Wausau emails, I can't describe this any other way. I struggle with an addiction to caffeine. I love everything about coffee, but I also recognize its disruptive effects on my eating and my sleeping habits. After months on the wagon, I was drawn back into coffee over the winter holidays. And he wanted to know your thoughts on caffeine and coffee, which you gave. Do you have any ways to help Charles get back on the wagon?
Well, you know, it's a tough one because I don't ever like to recommend to people that they stop completely things that they really love.
Mm-hmm.
So that goes for, you know, sugar is another one that a lot of people say, I'm addicted, I have to stop eating it, and they go cold turkey. But I'd rather see people figure out how to moderate these things that they enjoy because, you know, you only live once and we're not here that long. And I think life should be enjoyable. And I do think caffeine, if it's something that you love, I mean, I don't love coffee, so I don't share that thing with a lot of people where it really enhances their life. But I appreciate that that is the case for a lot of people. So I would just say, you know, maybe just limit it to a cup in the morning with breakfast.
Yeah.
I do recommend against only having coffee instead of breakfast. I don't think that's a good habit. But maybe having coffee with breakfast, having one cup, two at the most in the morning. I think the person who wrote in, you know, could do okay with that instead of, I think when we stress too much about and feel guilty or bad about things and we think we need to not have them in our life, it causes, you know, that just adds more stress to your life,
right.
And that's antagonistic to health in the end.
Melanie in Grafton is with us. Hello, Melanie.
Hi, good morning.
Morning.
Good morning.
Thank you. Okay, well, my small change this year was, I guess it's two. It's setting a schedule to exercise every day, but allowing myself a reward day where I just relax. I have those couple glasses of wine that I've maybe held off in the evening throughout the week, having my chocolate, having that greasy food or that, you know, big fat steak and fries or whatever it is that, you know, I really kind of love to indulge in, but only doing that, you know, once a week for one meal. And I guess more for me, it's been more of like a mindset, like, okay, I'm going to work out, I'm sweating, I'm feeling great, and when Friday comes, I'm going to reward myself with that, you know, one amazing thing that I just really enjoy, but that might not be so good for me.
Yeah. Well, so how's it working for you, Melanie?
It's awesome. I'm on my third week, so I'm so proud of myself. I've never gone this long with consistent exercise. I may do like a day or two a week, but I've been doing great and I'm so proud. So I found what worked for me. And I think that is exactly what you were pointing to earlier is, you know, finding that exercise, finding that activity that you enjoy, because I used to do the elliptical machine at the Y and that just got so boring, and I just couldn't keep up with that. I started biking over the summer, but got too cold, so I stopped that. So since it's been cold, I really haven't had anything that I enjoy doing. And then I found Pilates, which I absolutely love. So I can dedicate myself to that, and it's so fun. And I thank you so much for the show, and I'm definitely going to look into your book, and thank you so much.
Well, thank you, Melanie. I'm so happy that you found Pilates, and I guess I like it that she felt that she, you know, could schedule it. So, you know, that might be helpful for some people, too, to try to fit that into your schedule someplace during the day.
Absolutely. When I first started doing the weight training schedule that I do, I did something similar to Melanie, and I said, well, there was a class. It was at 9:30 every morning. So I said, okay, every day after my kids going to, I just got dressed to go. When I woke up in the morning, I didn't even give myself a chance to think about it. I just said, okay, I go to the gym, and I said 4 days a week. So Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, Friday. As soon as my kids go out the door, I get in the car and I drive to the gym. And that was really just for the first month. Wasn't like I was forcing myself, but I wasn't used to it yet. So it was that schedule. And now it doesn't really matter when I go to the gym. I just go 4 days because it became a habit. I don't have to do that schedule anymore because now I just, my body wants to go, I want to go. But at the beginning, it was new, so I did have to set a schedule to get used to it.
Yeah. What about the indulge once a week theory?
Yeah, that's like a cheat meal or a cheat day. That's what some people call it, and that does seem to work. So in the book, I actually so for me, what I really do is I think about eating 80 to 85% really wholesome foods, and then the other maybe 15% I don't worry so much about.
Mm-hmm.
So that's something that works better for me. And so I wouldn't necessarily hold off personally to have a meal or a day where I was going off the plan. It's more just part of my everyday life where I don't stress out too much if I want to have a cookie.
Yeah.
But different people really need a different kind of structure around that. Some people do feel that if they had one cookie, they would have 10. So they like to just put it on one day. And I don't think that's bad. I do think different things work for different people. But sometimes we get in this mindset of all or nothing. And that, you know, that's the, well, I'm not going to cheat, and then I'm going to cheat on that one day. And then and some people can undo a lot. They might take it overboard on that one day. That's the only thing I worry about.
Yeah. You have more than a dozen recipes in the book. These come from your healthy green kitchen?
Literally and figuratively. Yes. Well, actually, my kitchen is a green kitchen in the sense that we have a lot of everything in there was recycled, actually, out of another home that we bought all our kitchen stuff. That's sort of beside the point, and that's not in the book, but it really is true. But, yeah, I cook a lot, and a lot of the focus of my blog is on cooking, and I have tons of recipes. So there are recipes in the book that are intertwined with the topic of whatever the particular chapter is.
Yeah, are they green recipes?
Well, I mean, I mean that depends on how you're going to define green. They're green in the sense that I do focus on using local ingredients, organic ingredients, and I look at cooking and food in a holistic way. There are some tips in the book for how to be more eco-friendly at home and in the kitchen, if that's what you're asking.
Mm-hmm. Let's go to John in Rhinelander. Hello, John.
Hi there. I think of the main positive thing I do for my mental and physical health as actually a reward. I try to do it every day. I run or ski before dawn, and then I'm still going as the sun comes up. The theory that I have of it is it just boosts my metabolism all day and it just shifts it. And the other thing is I think that sleep restores your biochemicals in your brain, your biochemical balance.
Absolutely.
And then I think aerobic exercise does. The combination in the morning just makes my whole day magic.
That's fantastic. I find the same thing, that when I exercise in the morning, it makes such a huge difference for my day. It sounds like what you're doing is great, and I love how you described it as a reward, because
yeah.
I think a lot of people think of exercise as a punishment, and we really shouldn't look at it that way.
And I love how he is out in the woods. He's skiing outside.
Oh,
he's
fantastic.
Doing it.
I'm so jealous.
Yeah, I am too. And that's one of your tips, is get out in nature.
Absolutely. Absolutely. A lot of us are just, you know, going from the car to the office, back to the car, back home, and missing any time outside. So I do think whatever you can do, whether it be a walk or sitting in the park, anything you can do during the week and certainly on the weekends if you can go out. I mean, I live in a beautiful area and try and go out hiking or walking, even if it's not that nice out.
We are talking about some health and wellness tips with Winnie Abramson. She is author of One Simple Change, and we're welcoming your questions for her, and we're welcoming any health and wellness tips that you may have discovered. 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@wpr.org, or post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. What's the most helpful small or big change that you've made recently? I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. We are talking for the rest of this hour about some small changes that we can make that will have a big effect on our overall well-being. And we're welcoming your questions and your own suggestions at 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. Our guest has a doctorate in naturopathic medicine. She blogs at Healthy Green Kitchen. And Winnie Abramson is the author of One Simple Change, Surprisingly Easy Ways to Transform Your Life. And let's go back to the phones. Chris in Madison is with us now. Hi, Chris.
Hi. I made a change and started just keeping a food journal and have lost 2 pounds since then, not really making any changes to my diet. But my question is, what about us third shifters that have a weird sleep schedule?
What you have in a, okay, so you just want to know how to get the proper amount of sleep, Chris, or what?
What advice would your guest have regarding, you know, I know the talk about melatonin and sunlight and everything, that's a little difficult for those of us that work the nights.
Yeah, all right, shift workers, Winnie, anything special they should keep in mind?
Yeah, I'm definitely not an expert in that department. I think that's definitely something you should, you know, speak to a medical professional about, because you like, as you mentioned, you are, you know, missing some critical aspects, like, you know, the sunlight just plays into so many aspects of health. So yeah, I wish I had something to tell you on how to handle that, but it's just something I'm not that knowledgeable about.
Do you like the food journal idea?
I love the food journal idea. I think it's really important for people to become mindful of what they're eating. And some people just, you know, they eat without thinking. And so journaling is great. I think it's a really good way to, you know, for weight loss, it can be really important for tracking what you're eating. If you want to use any of those sort of, you know, those Fitbits and different things that are out right now in terms of tracking calories for weight loss, it's important to be really accurate. So a journal can be good if you are noting what you eat throughout the day, because sometimes people will maybe sit down at the end of the day and go, oh, yeah, I think I had that. I'm not sure how much, you know. So I think a journal is good both for being mindful and being accurate about what you're eating.
I wanted to ask you about healthy oils. I'm going to try your sardine salad, by the way. That sounds interesting. It really does.
I love it. Sardines are fantastic for you.
Yeah, it does sound really good. But I saw a write-up on coconut oil recently, and I wondered if you had any thoughts on coconut oil or what healthy oils you think we ought to add to our diets.
Well, I do love coconut oil, and I use it, and coconut oil is one of these foods that we demonized for a long time and said, well, it has saturated fat, so it can't possibly be good for you. But it turns out that it is actually very good for you. And, you know, it has some antifungal, antibacterial, antiviral properties. It seems to boost the thyroid gland, and it can help some people with weight loss. So I do use coconut oil in my cooking, not exclusively. I also use butter. I use olive oil. So those are the three things. Those would be the three that I cook with most often. If I'm, you know, sauteing vegetables or something, I would either use butter, coconut oil, or olive oil. So I really stay away from the refined vegetable oils and hydrogenated fats. Those are two things that I don't use at all.
Another caller who couldn't wait, or we lost the caller on a cell phone, wanted to know your thoughts on hemp products. Do you have any thoughts on hemp products?
Yeah, not something that I use. I see them in the health food store. I know people like them. I know you can use the seeds. You can put them in smoothies. I believe they do have some beneficial fats in there, some omega-3s. So I don't think there's anything wrong with that. I think it's potentially good for you. There's so many things on the market now, though, that are, you know, touted as superfoods. I think that it's a little nutty how many things there are, and there's a lot of really expensive products. And I don't use so many of those. I kind of stick to the basics.
Yeah. I've noticed now there's a hemp milk now.
There is. They make milk out of all sorts of things these days.
Yeah. How about one area we haven't talked about is how to have an eco-friendly home. What sort of things can we do to have an eco-friendly home?
Well, first of all, I think just being mindful of your energy usage, these are basic things that people may know but maybe don't do. So turning out the lights when you leave a room, keeping your thermostat down. It's a little hard in the winter, but really, working to keep it around 68 degrees is generally good for most people. Composting is something that a lot of people aren't doing, but it's easy and it's a really good way to reduce trash. Being mindful of things you can recycle and reuse at home is important. So things like that.
Yeah, why is this important to our well-being?
Well, the book has a really holistic focus on, both personal well-being, but, we all live on this planet, mm-hmm. and our planet is in peril. So I really feel that we need to be more mindful of our individual habits because they really do make a difference.
Yeah. How about eco-friendly, health-friendly skincare? You have a tip on that.
I do. So I do think that we need to be careful about what we put on our skin, because our skin, what a lot of people don't realize is your skin is your body's biggest, eliminative organ, and it readily absorbs toxins. So what you put on your skin, that ends up inside your body, and toxins get stored in your fat cells. So I think there's a statistic that the average woman uses more than 15 different cosmetics and products on their skin on a daily basis. So a lot of us don't realize that those cosmetics, the ingredients aren't regulated. There are things in there that we don't necessarily want stored in our bodies.
Yeah, so what do I want to do instead of that, the anti-wrinkle cream I'm using right now that probably...
Your wrinkle cream may be fine. Different products have different ratings. I believe it's the Environmental Working Group. They rate mm-hmm. cosmetics. They have a database, so it can be useful to look on there and see how the products that you're using rate. Some people will find that maybe they want to switch over to something that contains more natural ingredients, so something that you would buy in a natural food store. There are a lot of products that are more natural. And sometimes you can actually coconut oil, which you mentioned, mm-hmm. is actually very good for your skin.
Yeah, it sounds like it's a miracle oil. I have to start picking that up. We have just a minute to go. One of your tips,
sure.
Be kind to yourself. That seems to be the easiest to say, but maybe the hardest to do. How do we do that?
Well, I think that's, again, it's just practice. So many people, a lot of women, we beat ourselves up and we want to be perfect. And if we're not perfect, we get hard on ourselves. But it's just changing that internal dialogue and letting go of being perfect, not expecting to be perfect, knowing that you're going to have setbacks, knowing that not everything is going to go well. And that's okay. It's not a reflection of you as a human being. So just, work on changing that internal dialogue if it's negative.
Well, this has been inspiring. Thanks very much for being with us, and thanks for the book.
Thank you so much, Joy.
Winnie Abramson is the author of One Simple Change. Thanks to Marika Saval and to Christy Taylor and to Robin Cherry for producing this program. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network.